Well, I think what happens is people sometimes come to us when they want that quick fix, and they don't realize that this is not a quick fix. This is a long game. Using these skills are a long game. And you, yes, can you have success, especially with how am I supposed to do that? Because that's like the one thing that many people took from the book, and they're like, how am I supposed to do that? And we hear that all the time. And that is going to blow up in your face. It may work a few times, but it will blow up in your face eventually because it has to be preceded by empathy. In other words, you have to be in that empathy mindset, using these skills, having that conversation with that person, and then trigger their empathy by saying, oh, how am I supposed to do that? It's not an end all be all skill that's going to get you what you want. And the problem is then people hear that, they use it the one time to great success, and then they just keep using it. And they just keep using it. And then finally they use it on the same person twice, and the person's like, what is this? How am I supposed to, you know, then it catches on. And then you're lost. Because if you don't internalize and practice and use this stuff with the proper mindset, thinking about what's going on with the person on the other side, you're not going to get anywhere. It's not a quick fix. And I think that's the thing that when you first start working with someone, when you first start coaching someone, and they hear you say that, they go, ugh, you know, because it is like learning that foreign language. And if you've ever learned a foreign language, you know that if you stop doing it, you forget it. If you don't use it, you lose it. And so when we tell people, you have to use this, you have to use this all the time. My thing with people is make it a part of your life. I love coaching people with kids because I say, use it with your children. Because what you're going to do is you're modeling empathetic behavior that they will then grow up to do because you've modeled it for them. And it'll be a lot less difficult for them to be successful in their communications when they grow up because you've modeled that behavior for them. I mean, think about when we were kids and our parents would say, go do this. And you'd say, why? Because I said so. That's not empathy, folks. That's typical parental reaction, which you will do anyway, but try not to do it all the time. When they say, why? Say, well, it seems like you really want to understand why I'm having you do this. And then, you know, and then give them something. I mean, why is the sky blue? I don't know. Oxygen does this and chemicals do that. And they don't care what you say. Just don't say because, and give them an answer. It shapes their mind into thinking about what's happening on the other side and what the other side needs to hear and feel from you, which leads them to be empathetic. And it'll be less of a lift for them when they get older to be able to do empathy, to use empathy, to understand what empathy is. It'll be ingrained in them instead of like it was for us when we had to take a year to focus on what the hell was happening and try to figure out what we were doing and take a really long time to use the skills and understand the mindset and learn that foreign language and understand that it's not a quick fix. And your kids will get that if you start them early on this.
And the mindset thing, one of the obstacles I had was, especially at work, when I'd try to use the skills on the worst possible person, like the one everybody hated, whether it was the bad boss or the peer or whatever, or even on the negotiation team, when the bad guy is so wholly unsympathetic, you know, a child sex abuser or something like that, and you'd be using the skills. Keep your mindset when you're at work because people are going to ask you, why are you being nice to them? And the fact is, those people are, in my experience, the ones that these work best on because nobody's listening to them. And you're not being nice. You're going to win with this. You make it all about them, but it's all about your results. So when you've got the bad boss and you're the one that talks to him, there's going to be people who whisper that, you know, you're sucking up. There's going to be people who whisper that you've switched sides. Keep your mindset because what you're going after is that win. You're trying to affect all of your futures, the whole team. So don't get in your own head about how this feels or how this looks to other people. You're the warrior in this and you're going to win it. But it does take practice. But it's so much fun when you unlock somebody that nobody else has unlocked. When somebody tells you something that they've never told anyone else, oh, yeah, just work on your poker face. So you're not going, ha, you know, cause that'll throw them off their game a little bit, but, it takes time and we keep drilling that down, but it takes time to develop and you should always keep developing. You should always examine the conversations that you had this morning and last night and say, what could I have done better? What could I have learned? What did I miss? What am I going to do next time I talk to this person? And just keep growing, because it is an absolute blast. And you become that person that everybody wants to talk to. And you're just sitting back making money because they call you with all of their lucrative problems.
Yeah, I like the way you put that.
You know what's interesting? It seems like there's a common thread that I'm hearing that you guys are all saying, which is in any negotiation, you're going to question yourself. You're going to do a deeper dive if you don't get it right the first time. And you have to be like extremely curious if you're hitting, particularly if you're hitting up against a wall. So it sounds like getting comfortable with being uncomfortable is part of this.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Freaking question. There's nobody on this screen that is going to tell you don't get triggered during a negotiation or a difficult conversation. They better not tell you that, because it's impossible for you to not get triggered during the conversation. The key is, how do you respond to the trigger? And this is what Marcella was talking about as far as the curiosity is concerned. Yes, you get yelled at, you get attacked during a conversation, it's going to sting a little bit. And at least two of the four people on this screen are going to go at you, or their initial inclination is going to be to go, I'm tipping my hand here, but to go mama bear on you. And you know what mama bear does when she's trying to protect.
You can't go mama bear down.
Not so naturally, I haven't practiced it. So.
He also just pointed out the two assertives.
Yes.
And so, yeah. So with the assertives, and I've said this for you guys before, the difference between people say, well, what's the difference between the assertive and the analyst? And because we often talk about them being two sides of the same coin, and the real difference between the assertive and the analyst is the analyst is going to sneak up behind you and slit your throat, and you'll never hear him coming. You'll never see her coming. It'll be a Tony Soprano moment. You'll put an onion ring in your mouth and the screen just goes blank. With the assertives, they're going to bury the knife right in your chest so they can watch the life leave your eyes. That's the main difference. But the fact of the matter is, you're going to get triggered during these conversations. We're not telling you not to get triggered. We're telling you don't respond negatively to the trigger. And staying curious it goes a long way into doing that, because there's always, always, always a hidden message behind every statement, behind every question. And so I stay in a curious mindset. I let it sting. I think to myself, oh, I could just smash you in the face with a brick right now. You're making me angry immediately. As soon as I self-label myself, the negative emotions that I'm feeling dissipate. And now I can refocus on, all right, let me be curious about where that's coming from.
And also understand that as many times as you practice that, there will be times when you don't do that. There will be times when you are triggered so deeply that your first response is, rah! And the thing is, the ability to take a deep breath and realize what you've just done and back off. And I call this the post audit. I am so sorry. Yeah. You probably think I am a complete idiot. You probably think I'm the meanest person in the world because basically I just jumped back on you. That's you do something and then you immediately, and I have a lot of practice at this, and Marcella, maybe you do too, because we're assertive, and sometimes assertives can get triggered very easily and just react and then have to realize, I'm so sorry. I'm a complete idiot. And then you calm yourself down a little bit by saying that. And watch the other side. It's amazing how well it works, because if you react on someone and you punch them in the face really quickly, not physically, although, well, no, not physically, But when you see that reaction and you have to back off for a second, you taking that time to say, I'm so sorry, you probably feel like I've lost my mind, that actually calms you down too, because that audit works on them. It also works on you. And you can see them look at you like, yeah, you did lose your mind. But because you addressed it, they've calmed down. And the trigger that you reacted to doesn't gear them up at the same time when you kind of insert that little apology there, which is why, you know, there's nothing wrong with a well-placed apology ever.